Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Buenos dias. Hey, welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. I have as my guest today, attorney Joaquin Monserrate Matienzo. Welcome to the program, Waco.
Well, thank you very much.
Waco is clearly, you know, the most recognized criminal lawyer, both in the local and in the federal court. And I wanted him to come and discuss a couple of things that he said he was interested in, and some that I'm interested in terms of the jurisdiction, how cases go to the federal versus the local. The case of that's been very up in the news, Wanda Vasquez, our ex-governor, and just some philosophizing, because he studied at Fordham and in Puerto Rico, but also a doctorate in penal law and criminal law in Rome. Mm-hmm. And so the whole area of the criminal law, how criminals develop, he... You know, has that in his hands. All these people have gone through him, tremendous amount of successful jury trials, and experiences with this world, and then the whole correctional system, there's the federal and the local. I wanted to get a little bit of philosophizing and reflecting on that area, but first of all. I wanted him, you know, as you know by now, when I have a guest, instead of my trying to summarize their life, I asked them to sort of, you know, for the listeners, just give us your background, family background, a little bit of your educational, why you decided, you know, to become a lawyer versus, you know, what your siblings may have, great, and what has been your passion besides the profession in other areas. I know some of them, but instead of my kind of summarizing them, I just turn this over. Some people speak about 5 minutes, and some it takes about 35 or 40 minutes, and I don't care. And I'll jump in if I think, you know, we need some clarification or all. But the mic is yours, Marco.
My family, my parents, were very geared towards education. My father was a lawyer. He was also a judge for many years, and my mother was a very, very hardworking, talented artist. She was a designer, and Luisa Matienzo and my father. They always were very enthusiastic about giving us a very good education, and they were very geared towards Jesuit education. So the three brothers, two of them went to Georgetown, and they became doctors later on in life. And then I went to Fordham, and I came out from Fordham to UPR Law School. I always knew I wanted to be a lawyer. I was always defending people in my classroom.
And you knew you wanted to be a criminal lawyer?
Yeah, a defense lawyer, yeah.
That's interesting.
Because I was always defending friends in school. I was a little boy. I recall several cases.
You're saying your friends were the wild ones?
I guess so. So I went to law school here, and after that, I got a recommendation for a scholarship, and it was in a very, very strange place in the sense that I did not know at the time the Italian language. But my professor, one of them, the eminent Jose Miro Cardona, one of the greatest professors I ever had, he was prime minister of Cuba, appointed by none other than Fidel Castro himself, because Miro Cardona was Fidel Castro's lawyer in the Moncada case.
Wow, what a character.
Case,
wow,
yes.
What a person.
And he came, Jaime Benitez brought him here. He was a professor, eminent professor. And he studied at that school, University of Rome, criminal law department. And he recommended me to go there. He fooled me in a sense because he didn't tell me that he had studied Italian for 4 years before he went there. the same thing happened with Pepe Canarsi. He was a criminal law professor of law school and very good friend of mine. And I knew he studied in Italy. He talked to me so much about the Italian school, but he didn't tell me that he had studied Italian in the university for years before he went there. So I went there. I had a lot of difficulties.
Yeah, boy, wow.
I had to join Scuola per Stranieri. It was a night school, so very hard. But I was working like hell just to learn the language. And first of all, the teacher, I remember, was a special professor for foreigners. So he says, listen, you have to buy a radio, a portable radio. You have to carry that thing forever because that way you educate your ear. And, of course, Jorge, in those days, the portable radios were eight Class C batteries. It weighed about a ton, you know. So I bought that thing. And then to read the newspaper out loud. And then watch TV and read a lot and make mistakes and keep going on.
This was a one-year program?
No, 2 years.
2 years. So 2 years to catch up.
And then after I came to Puerto Rico back to pay the university.
You know, speaking of Italian, you know, reflecting, when I went with Andres Nevarez, we were in college and we went to Europe and in Italy, We had the English to Italian, you know, in terms of the and we nobody could understand us, but we could kind of understand them. And then we said, boy, it sounds a lot like Spanish. So we bought another, you know, translate another book, you know, that was Spanish to Italian, and then they understood us perfectly. So at least we when we're in Italy, we have the benefit that at least the sound and the accent
is good.
But if you try to go to English to Italian, it's really a disaster. Excuse me, that was just reflecting on that experience.
It's funny. You know. And then I came to Puerto Rico and I had to pay my scholarship working for the government. And then the Justice Department knew of my presence, and they called me to join the Justice Department.
But before you go to that, in this 2 year program, this PhD, what was the most significant, you know, experience or message you got out of those 2 years? What was the reason for going for those 2 years, and what did you get out of that?
You know, the Italians. Not well known in the Western world or in our world in particular. The Italians have been known to be great criminal law professors and books of all kinds. For instance, my criminal procedure professor was none other than Giovanni Leone. He came out to be president of Italy. He was an eminent professor. I went to do some research on one of his lessons, and I went to the library, and there were at least 25 books written by him. He was magnificent. And to your question, which class?
Why did you go, and what did you come out with? Was it worth it, I guess?
It was worth it. Although I can say now that I am as old as I am, that I learned more in Italy about life, about how to live, than even criminal law. Because those guys, they have a very, very firm way of conducting themselves, family wise, and it was fantastic. Yeah.
Was it more philosophical or practical? More philosophical.
Which we'll
get into. Go. So you came back and you got into the prosecution.
As a youngster, in the Justice Department, a young prosecutor. And then one of the cases which I had to handle was a case which the federal chief prosecutor was a witness. That's Blas Herrero. He was a witness to a criminal case that one of his uncles was killed and murdered. And he was there as a witness, and he saw me working in the case. And after the session, he called me. He says, I was a youngster. He says, listen, I want you to come to work with me in the federal government as a prosecutor, because I have just been named chief U.S. attorney there, and I need a guy like you. And you, wow.
Okay. So that case with Herrera was in the local court, case. And he
was a witness. Yeah,
and he was a witness, and he just finished getting.
He just took me from the local.
That's how life flows, you know.
Yes.
Coincidences. Yes, and, you know, right.
And I never been to the federal court before that, you know. And so I went in, and I was very, very successful, and it helped me a lot.
Your Italian helped?
Well, it helped the study of philosophy of law and all that. But one person which I will never forget in those days, when I went into the federal court beside Blas Herrero, and he said, George Cancio, Don Irán Cancio. He was a former attorney general for Puerto Rico under Muñoz Marín, and he was such a wise, gentle, just man.
Yeah.
And he opened my ears. And I'm going to make you a little story getting off of what impressed me more about the way to do justice than George Cancio. You know, in those days, it was an offense not to register in the Selective Service. There was a war in Vietnam. And this young fellow from the university called Feliciano Grafals, was charged because he broke the Selective Service card in front of the marshals, you know, very, very...
aggressive.
And then they just charged him, you know, violation of the law. He didn't register, so he was a clean case, and he went to court. He said, no, I want to defend myself. And he went to court, and his defense was that he had philosophical and religious reasons for not entering into military service to go against the Vietnamese, because he said, primarily, like I remember it was later on, I heard this from Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, he said, well, those Vietnamese have done nothing to me, you know, I don't have to go there to kill them. So that was his defense, that he had moral reasons not to go into the army. And the jury found him guilty. And he appealed to the Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston. And you know what? Boston order reversed the case. But not the important thing is that he appealed a case in which he was granted probation. And this was the way that Judge Cancio handled the probation issue. He said, are you ready for sentence, Mr. Grafals? He said, yes. And then he goes to the marshal who was standing next to Feliciano Grafals, who was next to him. Probably this was pre-tried or something with Cancio and the marshal, because judge says, marshal, you were the marshal who arrested Mr. Feliciano? Yes. And how long was he under your custody? Well, I took him to the court for taking his details, and it took me about 2 hours. And the sentence, the maximum sentence, was 5 years. Up to 5 years. We are going to talk about sentences later on. That type of sentence, up to 5 years. So Cancio says, okay, I'm ready to sentence you. So you have been in custody for 2 hours, so your sentence has been served. The court sentenced you to 2 hours in prison.
Wow.
And you sentenced. And he appealed, and he won the appeal. So that was Cancio. Imagine what kind of humanity that man had.
And, you know, I did very little litigation, a year and a half, about 5 years, but very little in the federal court. And they assigned a pro bono, yeah. You know, signed one. His name was Angel Garalao. And he was a person who they declined his disability
a civil case?
Yeah, civil. He was denied his social security, and denied it. And I really believed that he was disabled. It was shrapnel wounds and all. But the thing is, Ignacio Rivera.
That was the prosecutor at the time.
And he wrote, you know, he just took, you know, item number 3, that the administrative decisions has to be, you know, fulfilled unless it was completely clearly wrong. And it was just a cut and paste job. And so I was very upset, you know, so I asked for a reconsideration. And so I went before Iran Cancio, and I, you know, argued.
Cancio was the judge?
See,
okay.
And I went for him and said, you know, this, what has been said here is by my counsel, Ignacio, who's a good friend, and, you know, it does not address the issues that I raised as to why this person is disabled, given these shrapnel wounds, et cetera. And Cancio looked at Ignacio, who had just written, he had tons of cases. This was just one more pain in the ass case, you know. And Ignacio looked at him, you know, sheepishly, and he says, "I'm gonna revoke the order and declare the person, you know, disabled." And that guy was he sent me one of these ice, you know, for champagne, the buckets, you know. He was so thankful but I think that was one of the first year. That was in 1969 when I started. Iran Cancio, what a great
Cancio,
judge.
What a great judge. What a great there. Human being.
Yeah, yeah.
What a great person.
Yeah. And we have about a few seconds, so we finished this first segment. So we'll come back right after the break. The person you've been listening to is attorney Joaquin Monserrate Matienzo, a criminal lawyer, and has been involved in a lot of other things that we'll be discussing in this whole criminal world and what we need to do in Puerto Rico to improve the rehabilitation and make sure that people do not enter into criminal action. So we'll be right back after the pause. Jorge Gonzalez, this is Reflections.